We're holding on to Kuf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. We just completed the din of an Orev, the difference between an Orev and a Kavun, according to the various Shitas, and what the halacha is, Legabe Balchov, and Legabe Orev and Kavun on a Ksuva. Now, there's another issue that we need to talk about. And here we're talking about, in general, the sense of how much a person really means to be Machayev himself, similar to the idea of Orev by a Ksuva and by a Balchov. There's another question that revolves around the same issue. How much does a person seriously mean to be Messiah himself, or when might he have some other purpose in mind when he mentions Achiyev? So, Amar Rav Huna, Shchiv Merashi Gdish Kol Nechasav. We're on the bottom of Amud Beis, 5 lines up from the bottom. Shviv Mirashi Gdish Kol Nechasav V'yamar Mona Lefloni B'yadi Ne'eman. If a Shchiv Mira gives away his property to Hegdash, and he says at that time that he has $100 that doesn't belong to him, so he's Ne'eman that $100 it goes to that person, doesn't go to Hegdash, because Chazakah Ein Adam Oseh Kinuni Al Hegdash. The reason is because we assume that when a person makes such a statement, he does not have in mind to try to defraud Hegdash from some of the money that he gave Hegdash. So he's going to make up with this guy that he's going to give him half the money and that guy will give him half the money. We're not punished for such a thing. He says the Yomamachifor of Nachman. That's the reason over here that we say, "En on the Meisa Kenuni al Hegdash, Yadam Meisa Kenuni al Banav." Does a person conspire against his own children? And yet it says over there that Rabbi Shmuel Amritarvayu, that Shchiv Merah says, Mona Lekloni Biadi. So this guy is dying, his children are going to inherit his property. And he says, I owe $100 to so and so. Nonetheless, Amatznu, if he says the word, give it to that guy, so then nothing. But law amarts nu ain't nothing. If he doesn't say actually delivered into that guy's hand, then we don't give it to him. Now certainly the issue over here is not whether he's going to conspire against his children. But what's the issue? The issue is that just the statement that $100 of what I owe belongs to somebody else, that's because Alma Adama Sri Shalola has biad banav. A person may make statements like that so that people don't get the idea that his children are millionaires after he dies. So they see, $50,000 actually belongs to another guy, and another $100,000 belongs to another guy. So he wants people to believe that his children aren't going to be coming out with a lot of money. But if that's the case, Ochinami, Adamasu Shalola Hazbiya Tatsumo. So too by the Madrish. Now the point isn't that he's a Neman because he wouldn't make a Kanuni against Hegdash. He may have said that in order that it shouldn't be said about. I mean, there's two possibilities here. First of all, what if he recovers? There's a Man Yomar who holds that even if he was Madrish because of the Shchiv Merah, even Hegdash goes back to him. So then people are going to say, oh, this guy's pretending to be a pauper his whole life. He ended up giving $1 million to Hegdash. Now he's rich. He didn't give $1 million to Hegdash. Okay, so he wants to make people believe that. And anyway, even if he does die, he doesn't want people to say, oh, the whole time he was pretending to be a rag dealer, and now it turns out that he's a multimillionaire leaving $100 million to Hegdash. So if he makes statements, they shouldn't know how much he gave. And, I owe a lot of money here, there, and so on. Okay, so then you could say the same thing over here by Hegdash, as we said by Rabbi Shmuel Damer Tarvayu, by his children. People make statements, and those statements can sometimes be attributed to other purposes, and they're not necessarily a reason to be Mechayev. So how do we know that that's number? How can a guy go and collect from Hegdash on the basis of somebody saying that, well, even though there's money I gave to Hegdash, but $100 of it wasn't mine? Maybe Stami said that. Says the Gemara, "Ki Kamar Rav Huna Asam." The case over there was that the guy was holding a shtar, and he said, "Yes, the shtar is good, and he really has a right to collect that."
It's over there. He's not in Shtorah. We don't say, but where did Shtar come from? So Stam saying something that it shouldn't be Masbiyah. That's obviously. There really was a loan over here. So then, Michlal, the Rabbi Shmuel, the loan not in Shtorah. You're telling me, therefore, that the case of Rabbi Shmuel with the children, Shribmir Rabbi said, I owe $100. So even if he said it's new, right? But if there's no Shtar, so then the problem is, it's a Milval Peh. So then why am I to not mean? Even if he said to his children, give it. So what, we're going to give it? Milval Peh Habi. V'Rabbi Shmuel Damar Tarvayu. Milval Peh Eino Gover Lo Mena Yoshim Lo Mena Lekukot. And don't try to tell me that the point over here is we give it because Tom and Mitzvah Kaim Zivrei Ameis, not that it's really owed. Because the point over here is notnim is mashma notnim anyway, whether he dies, he doesn't, we would give it in his lifetime. So this mashma, we accept this as a definitive statement that this is money that's owed, in which case, if his children are going to give it, they're going to be give it, if he does die, then they're going to give it al sechov. So how could it be al sechov if Rabbi Shmuel holds in the middle of al sechov, you don't collect from? But not to collect from Yoshim and Mekuchas. Not if it's a Milval Peh. So what? It's owed, no. So why should I pay your debts? I pay your debts as a Yorish if the property is encumbered, but on a Milval Peh, the property is not encumbered. I said, good, no. So what do you want from me? He's dead. Well, I understand. He owes it. Let him handle it. If he doesn't know how to handle it in the grave, why do I handle it for him? Why am I responsible? Good, so there's another Indian over here, Mitzvah Kaim Divrei Ameis. Okay, that's something else, but that's not what we're dealing with over here. We're dealing about a real debt, apparently. Of course that can't be the case. It has to be that there's a shtar. The point over here is that the lokasha, or the mekuyam, or the lo mekuyam. The question over here is that if he's ndokat shtora, meaning that it has a henpek on it. So the case by hedvish is that the guy actually has a shtar that's a really completely kosher shtar. And if the guy says that I owe this money to Hegdish, then that shtar, what in the world? But that shtar can be used to collect even without the normal shvua that you would have to collect, right? Because it says Aboli Faram in a Kosim Mishubadim Lo Yifrala Bishvua. That's true even by Hegdish. So the advantage over here of the guy being Moda, that Mona Laploni, even after he gave his money to Hegdish, so you think, the Sattos has explained it, so you think, okay, if the guy's got a star and the star's got a henpik, what are we talking about? What do we need for the guy to be Moda? I mean, what does it have to do with the Shvifmira? It's time, he can collect, he's got a star, why shouldn't he be able to collect? Sattos explains the advantage over here of the Shvifmira and the Hodah is that Bezdin will collect without demanding a shvua. Normally, if you take away nechasim and shubadim, which over here they belong to other people, nonetheless, you're going to have to swear, even though you got a shtar. Since over here he said in the shchiv mira and other men, it doesn't make it to the now like that. So we collect even without a shvua. That's the advantage. Mashen came the case of Rabin Shmuel. It's talking about where there was no kiyam on the shtar. So memela, the shtar cannot be used to collect. So therefore, if the man said tnu, that word tnu is the kiyam of the shtar. That's the point. Because since he's saying tnu, he obviously means that this debt is an absolutely binding debt. There's no kind of not after the kind of shtar. He's being murdered that this is a good shtar. Mashenkin, if he doesn't say tnu, lo amat tnu, lo kime l'shtar, then he wasn't mekayim l'shtar. If you want to go ahead and collect it, you'll have to be mekayim it by bringing witnesses to the signature, and so on and so forth. So that's how to understand the difference between the cases. Omar Rabba, shchiv mira she'amar mona l'ploni biyadi. If a shchiv mira says that I owe $100, and then he dies, and the heirs say, yes, of course, we paid that. Ne'amoni. So they're believed to say that they paid it. But if he said, give $100 to so-and-so, that's the money that I have to pay him, the Omer Yitzhamim Parano and the children say, we did it. Ain't there money. Then they're not believed. Says the Gemara, Klopi, liar, where the heck are you heading over here? If anything, it's the exact opposite. If the father says, no, so over there, it's clear. He said, just give the money. There's nothing further to discuss. So even the post-Kabu-Namilsa, when the father made an absolute determination, a clear-cut statement, give this money. There you can remember the power. There you can say that the children accepted that as an absolute and they paid it. But if the father said, mana laploni biyade, the father wasn't posak, he wasn't mitzave, give it. He says, I owe $100. Maybe the Yisraelim are thinking, he said that because he doesn't want people to think that he's rich and the whole thing. So what's up is that they should pay it. So if anything, it's the opposite. If you're going to tell me that they're believed in one case and not in the other case, the case that they're believed in is where the father told them as a command, give this money to so-and-so. There it's reasonable to say that the Yisraelim did that. But where he said, oh, I owe $100, it's not reasonable. So what could he possibly have meant over here, Rabbi?
If he says pay, it means heaven. That could lead to me to learn about the death of. He says before he dies, pay this money. So how can they say we paid
him? They didn't know. No, afterwards. Well, yeah. We come a month later, and they said, yeah, of course we did it. Dad said to do it. It was one of the first things we did after Shiva. We paid the money right away. So therefore, there's got to be a mistake here in what we reported from Rabbah. Actually, we misunderstood Rabbah. What Rabbah said was not that the Yisomim paid it. The Shchiv Merah says the money laploni biyad. He doesn't say tnu. Now the Yisomim say yes, he did say that. But afterwards he said, ooh, that money I remember I paid. So our father said that he remembered that he paid that up. They're not that money. My time, why are they that money? Because Atkuri Mitzvah, it's reasonable that he initially hadn't remembered. And remembers the Mitzvah Matmas Miso of him and the man's confused. So afterwards he remembered. Because the fact that he didn't say Snu in the first place implies that he wasn't absolutely committed to this. He's thinking it through. Oh, I owe $100 to so-and-so. But when he says the words, oh, give that $100 that I owe to so-and-so, then it's the fact that he knew he gave that $100. Mashenke, so therefore, if he would have said, t'nu mana laploni, and then he had something to say, well, father of Amar Parati, there ain't that money. The need to the pari, had he actually paid it up, lo avi Amar t'nu, he wouldn't have said new. He would have had an element of doubt associated with it. That's what he said. Somebody rather, Shchiv Mirah Shahoda. See, Shchiv Mirah admits that he owes money to somebody. Marvel. No, obviously, you see, there's no better Shchiv Mirah. Enough, humanity. No, we have to know that that's what we always say that it. That he, as a matter of fact, in the contract of the Shchiv Mirah, specifically part of the things that the Edom have to say is, who was of sound mind, which we do in a modern day will also. I, so and so, of sound mindedness. That has to be attested by witnesses. Otherwise, we say the baby talking was senile, or he was under some kind of psychological craziness.
Excuse me,
Oscar,
is this Tnudu going this Why should it be a problem?
Well, Ploni obviously is ready to take the money at any time. Ploni's very happy. Obviously, Ploni's Michael gets it today. Ploni is the one who's suing. Who else is suing?
The case is against
Ploni and Ploni versus so-and-so, you tell me, sure. Yeah, those Plonis, they're very tough people. So now the Shaila is, does he have to say to witnesses, a guy is saying, you owe me $100. He says, yeah, attack, I owe you $100. So normally, if a person doesn't say to people who witness such an event, you'll be my witnesses, we can say, Meshata Anibacha. We could say that the man was essentially saying, yeah, right, I owe you $100,000. You're absolutely right. Yeah, you're talking in mind. Where would I get $100,000 for you? You're going to, yeah, I owe you $100,000. We could say that that's the way I meant it. I meant it. as a joke. The same way I thought his taina was a joke. So, yeah, guy wants to joke, I'll joke also. So now, so normally, if your hodah is to be taken seriously, even if it's in front of witnesses, you have to say, you be my witness, and then we take it seriously. The shaila is that true even about somebody who is dying? Does he need to say, atem eidai? Or answer it, lomar, atem eidai? That's my first question. And we'll see that the question over here is that at the time that a person is dying, we don't assume that he would say, that he would respond as a joke. Tzarich she'omar k'tovu. Now the truth is the Seder Hadvarim here seems to be a little bit reversed. Probably, the Bach suggests, the words that come after this, which is, Adam mishate b'shat mita, or ein adam mishate b'shat mita, comes first. Do we say that a person would respond sarcastically, even though he's dying? Or do we say, at the moment of death, he has other things on his mind besides sarcasm? So somebody says, you owe me $100,000, and he's dying, he's not going to say, yeah, sure. If he says, yeah, sure, he means, yeah, sure. So that's our question. Furthermore, the halacha, normally, an aide who witnesses something can't write up a shtar unless he is told, write it up, by the person who's chayim. So in this case, tzarich she'omar k'tovu, or tzarich lomar k'tovu? Does he have to tell the witnesses to write a shtar to the effect, or no? And here the question is, skipping now the next piece, which I put before the previous piece. So Boser, the Bai Hadar Parshta, first of all, ein adam mishat b'shat mita. And secondly, divrei shchivim ra'av k'chtuvim, since normally, when a Shri Mirat says something, now of course, the words Tiktuvim and Chimisurim usually have a specific meaning. They normally mean that you can achieve something without a kinyan. It's as if the kinyan was already made. Here it's not Negea that, we're sort of using it in a borrowed way, as Tosis points out. But Tiktuvim and Chimisurim means that it's very stark. It's as if they had actually commanded the Aden to write it. And as it says, I mean, we see in general that Otsu Chizr to a Shchiv Mira, we make his words mean more than a normal person's words. Like it says, he writes, if he says, Ksov Getla Yishti. So normally we would say that, okay, to write is one thing. That doesn't mean Zechi, or whether we say Ayelach Amana, doesn't mean Bizayfer Amana, things like that. We're very makazic that what he really meant was go all the way. Take care of this issue for me. It's too to actually say the entire formula that Norman would have to. So here too, when he said Atemi Dai, essentially he meant Atemi Dai and Sovu and do whatever needs to be done to ensure that this person will get his money.
What is that? What kind of
somehow I sense personal issues here.
Just
home
justice, personal issues.
Home
justice, personal issues. What
does that mean? What do you mean, what does it mean?
What does it mean?
It's a moral obligation. That somebody who inherits a person is morally indebted to him in such a way that when he's set to do something, it's only right to do it. But it's not an actual shibud on Karkos or anything like that.
The person who inherits, the person who's dying, has right. An obligation to fulfill certain things.
That person indicated that he wants.
Isn't that binding the business as well? Not necessarily the inheriting person. But we want to do it just whenever I want.
No, no. That's the case.
When we talk,
yeah, of course you don't take sound because the guy said do something and we're going to do it. Right. No, in other words, a man says raise the American flag every yard side of mine. I mean, I listen to a guy and give me a mace. Okay, we're all responsible for raising the American flag. I would like money given to charity for my problems. Where I feel I owe a debt to so-and-so.
where normally there's no Shibat Karkot, it's not European. But he has to take care of it for him. Oh, well, that's a very good question, which Gemara is about to discuss exactly that issue. The Gemara is about to discuss exactly that problem. Hamalvet, as a matter of fact, that's what our next Mishnah discusses, the nature of the tiyuvim that are incurred by an estate or by property, depending on whether it's an oral loan or whether it's a written loan. That's exactly the issue that we're now getting to. Hamalvet chaver bishtar, someone who lends a friend using a contract, the din is govem minechasim mishuhu badin. He can collect from property that is now owned by somebody else because he created a lien with his shtar against that property. Al yidei edim. However, if he made the loan with witnesses but never asked that a document be drawn up to attest to it, then govin minechasim b'nei chorin. He can only collect from property that is not been sold to anybody else. If he has an IOU, which you would think would be the equivalent of a shtar, because it has the guy's own signature, or it's in his own handwriting. Either way, it's called ktav yado, whether it was a printed document and he signed it, or whether he actually wrote up the words, I do owe you, and it's in his own ktav yad. But nonetheless, since there's no witnesses, you can use it to collect, but you can't use it to collect against a buyer. You can only use it to collect against the person himself. So in other words, apparently you need two separate issues in order to be able to create a lien against property that could be used against someone who already bought that property. You need to have witnesses to a document. So witnesses to the loan is not enough. And a document about the loan is not enough. That's what these two cases are bringing out. You need to have a document signed by witnesses. Orev hayotzei li'achar chitum shtarot. Suppose you have a signed document attested by witnesses, but underneath the signature of the witnesses comes the orev's chiyuv, in which he says, I do agree to be responsible for this loan. So now that arev can only be sued from the nechasim b'nei chorin. You can't come and collect from his nechasim that are he sold to somebody else, because even though a document exists against for the loan, but he wasn't included in that document because he signs on only after the witnesses sign. So in other words, the idea that you need to have a document in order, an attested document, in order to create a she'ibud, requires three elements. First of all, there needs to be witnesses. Second of all, there needs to be a document. Thirdly, that document needs to be specifically against the properties that are going to be leaned. But the fact that there exists such a loan, and that it's an attested loan, but somebody else signed on, and he's on that same document, but the witness has never signed on his responsibility, so he came after the loan, doesn't create any new shibud against his property. So even though there's a fee to pay, but there's no way to collect if he sold his property. Ma'aseh uba lifnei Rabbi Yishmael. Now such an event occurred in Rabbi Yishmael's bezdin. And Rabbi Yishmael said, well, you can't collect if he doesn't have any property now, if he sold it, but if he has free property, you can collect. You can't collect at all. Now that was very shocking. Rabbi Yishmael said, what? Why not? Well, suppose you're walking down the street and find somebody choking a guy who owes him money. Well, I mean, you can choke a person in many. It doesn't have to be stuck under the torture. I mean, somebody's turning the screws, essentially, is what chronate means. He's really choking him, all right? So you say, look,
What are you choking this guy for? Hanach lo, ani etein lecha. Leave the guy off. He doesn't have any money. Come to me. I'll handle it. Patur. Patur. Why is he patur?
The
Oreb is patur. Shelo al munato hilvahu. The loan already took place. So what you're saying now is far and beyond. The concept of the guarantor is not that you come after the loan, it's that you are part of the loan being made. So over here, if you have a contract, and that contract is signed and so on, sealed and delivered, and then it says, I am the guarantor. There is nothing in it that makes this loan, makes you part of the loan. You might as well have come along afterwards and signed onto the contract. So why should that creates no binding chiyuv on you whatsoever. Ella, no. Normally it's part of the contract. We made him sign on both. A guarantor. So then it's part of the actual loan. Ella ezeu arev shu chayav. When we say an arev is chayav, it's because he said, halveu, you make a loan to him, v'ani noten lecha. Where is chayav? Shekein ala munato yilvahu. The loan was made because this person guaranteed it. Ramar Rabbi Yishmael harotze sheyachkim yaasok b'dinei mamonis. Somebody who wants to get wise, he should spend his learning on financial issues. She'ed lecha mikta v'torah. There's nothing in the Torah that is gadol mehem. There's no greater, broader area for detailed analysis that you have direct, immediate ability to find all of the distinctions in, than there is in today's moment. Vein kimayana noveyat, like a never-ending flow of water. V'harotzeshi yasok v'dinei mominas. Oh, by the way, if that's what you decide to do, choose Ben Nanas as your Rebbe, because this guy's brilliant. Yeshamesh et Shimon Ben Nanas. Says the Gemara, Omar Ula. Dvar Torah. Echad malve b'shtar, ve'echad malve alter. Somebody loans with a star, or somebody loans b'alter, it could be milve b'shtar, milve alter, a loan b'shtar, a loan b'alter. Govem nechassim mishu'ubadim, you can collect from encumbered properties. In other words, for properties that were sold. My time, huh?
What's
the Dvar Torah? In other words, the Mishnah's discussion defines the Rabbanah, not the Arise. Midiraisa, the loan itself creates a lien. My time, Mashi Ibuda Diraisa. Liens are a Torah din. And there's no indication in the Torah that there's a difference between a star and not a star. Where does that appear? Where would you get such an idea? The fact that you owe money means that your things are liens to pay. We'll see. It's a machlokas. What's the basis of this? The basis of this is, says the Rashbam, the fact that it says in the Torah that if a guy hasn't paid his loan, so you go to his door, and hu yotzei lecha ha'avot achutza, he'll bring you the mashkin. Why should he bring you a mashkin?
Because it's
lingering. He owes, his property is yours. Which is the Torah is saying that, well, you don't go into his house. Let him bring it out to you. Fine, but you see clearly that there exists an actual chiyuv on his things, not stam that he has a mitzvah to pay you back, and that therefore Bezdin should go in, and Bezdin should force him to pay, if necessary, taking action against him by taking his things as an act of Bezdin, though, not because those things are yours. It's a whole different way of looking at it. Okay, so you see that Shibud is the Araisa. Must be, therefore, that when it says in our Mishnah that an oral loan is not collected from the Chasim Mishu Badim, that's a Sakona de Rabbanan who remove the Shibud. And what would be the reason? Elamat Tam Amru, that a Mil Alpe Eno Gove Elad Mina Chasim B'dei Chorin, why then did the Rabbanan take off that lien and say you can only collect from free property? Mishum Seder LeKuchot. It's because there would be no way for a buyer to protect himself. And if somebody was going to go buy a piece of property, he could the next day lose his property because he has no way of knowing since we're talking about an oral loan, and people, when they make oral loans, it's a private thing. I mean, they don't expect people to go around talking about the fact that they owe money.
Not enough to do a title search.
Exactly. How am I going to find out about it? I think, when there's a recorded document, then already it's known, and then already I can find out about it. If I'm worried that there's a lien against this property, I have ways of finding out. The witnesses. The witnesses on a document means that the document is meant to be something that's part of public knowledge. If it's a private affair between us, we witness you, okay, then that's your business. But the very fact that we were asked to record in a document means word gets around. So, but if that's the case, I mean, what if the guy didn't know? It was a Milva Bishtar, but he didn't know. So is that unfair to collect from him? So Hossam, we should say Nan? So think, well, no, because Hossam Inu Ninu Diapsiru Anapshayu. Over there, once we've put into place the mechanism that makes it possible for a person to do a title search, if he doesn't do it properly, see, he's an idiot. And he loses the money because he lost it for himself. And we're not responsible to make people responsible. We're only responsible to see to it that they could protect themselves if they so desire. So this is the sheet of Ula. Rava says no. Tavar Torah, Echad Milva Bishtar, Echad Milva Alpein, or Gova, Elamim Rechassim B'nei Chorin. On the contrary, the halakha that there exists a shi'ibud at all, even when there's a contract, is only a drabanan. In fact, midiraisa, you would not be allowed to collect from somebody's property. You would have to go to Beis Din, who would then go to enforce that person's chiyuv because he has a mitzvah to pay you. And then, however, they would enforce it. They would beat him to take his property. But you certainly can't simply go and collect property, midiraisa. My time is shi'ibud elav midiraisa. What about the pasuk that says about the avos? That was after the court had already given a judgment and were mechayev the person to give the property. Fine, over there, everybody's mother, the court can create a shibud for you. So matam amru milva b'shtar dovim nechassim yishu badim. Why then did Chazal say, to make a takona, that if you have a contract, that contract can be used even against a buyer of the field of the person to whom you lent? In order that people should not find the door slammed in their face when they try to borrow money. Because a lender, a prospective lender, thinks to himself, what am I, crazy? I'm going to lend this guy money. Why? Because he's got fields worth $2 million. He'll sell them tomorrow. Then what do I do? So Mamela, unless people had a way to rely that they could ultimately collect their money, who would lend money? So we would completely shut down the capital market. And therefore, in order, so in other words, it's two different ways of looking at it. We could say, what we did was, is we protected the property market, or according to Ula, right? And therefore, we made it that you cannot collect on an oral debt, or the opposite. We went to protect the capital market, and therefore we made it that you can collect with a written debt. That's the machlokas between Ula and Rav. Now, you may think that there's no difference between those two opinions, because it boils down to the same halachas. It's the question whether it's the Rishis or Rabbanan, or which way do we do it. But the truth is, there are possible cases where it could cause a significant difference. Let's say, for instance, a case in which you have two shibudim. One which was incurred on a, if you hold that it's a diraisa, with a milva al peh, and then one which was incurred later with a milva that was written in a shtar. And over there, if this guy now has only this to collect from, we're not talking about protecting others and so on. So now the question is whether is this a meaningful shibud, if you hold that shibud of the araisa, really not in terms of protecting the buyers. So if your shibud is the araisa, even on a milva of the balpeh, then the guy can say, look, I made the loan before you made the loan. The fact that you made a loan bishtar, I made it balpet, and therefore I should lose. See? So there can be nafkaminas. So there's discussions about whether that is a kosher nafkamina. But anyway, certainly you could see that it's not quite so simple that there'd be no practical difference between them. So says the Gemara, according to this, why don't we do the same thing with a milval pair to allow you to collect from property in order to allow the capital market to function better? No, because also, unless like Kala over there, it wouldn't be fair to buyers. Because there's no cold, people wouldn't have a way to find out. The question is, though, is it really true that Rava said that Shibuda is lav d'oraisa, and that it's only a takanah d'rabbanan that a lender with a contract can collect from a chasid b'shubadi? The Amar Rava, Gogul, by the way, it's just very important not to confuse yourselves, because the word Shibuda is being used in opposite ways here. When you're saying Shibuda the Arisa, it means your Shibud on the property is the Arisa. And therefore the Nechasim Mishu'ubadim, which are referring to Nechasim that have been sold to somebody else, not that are Mishu'ubadim to you. It's a little confusing. So Nechasim Mishu'ubadim, meaning somebody else has got rights that it was sold to them. So that's a Gova Minechasim Mishu'ubadim to someone else because Shibuda the Arisa to you. Don't let that confuse you, because the word Shibud, when you're saying Govan and Nechasim Mishubadim, means Nechasim that are owned by someone else. Not referring to the Mishubadim through the Shibud, the Arakiyu, exactly. So don't let that confuse you. We're using the word in opposite ways here. So is it true that Rava holds that really Shibud is Lav D'oraisa? The problem is, we had before, that Rava says that in a case where Gogu Karka, the halacha is that remember that the Bnei Ma'arava, they sent from, we learned this in Finland, sitting out there on the porch, this Gemara, that they sent from Eretz Yisrael that a Bechor is noto pishnayim in a loan that was collected with karka. It was collected with karka, was the way Rabbi explained it. So Rabbi said over there, Gobu karka yeshlo, he takes pishnayim. Now the din is a bechor cannot be notel beroi kibamuzik. It has to be something that his father actually had in his rishus. So if Rava is saying that the meaning of the sholchu mitam from Eretz Yisrael, that a bechor has a right to be shnai in a debt that was collected by the estate, and that's because it was on karka, and obviously he holds that shibuda is the arisa. And therefore, it's as if the father already owned this karka in his lifetime. So I'm a male of the Bechor, takes Pishnayim. But if Rava over here supposedly says that Shibuda is Lav D'oraisa, how could he explain that a Bechor would be Nato Pishnayim if Midi Arisa, the father never owned that property in his lifetime? And property that comes into the estate after his death, the Bechor isn't Nato Pishnayim on. It's a contradiction in Rava himself. How could he say here Shibuda is Lav D'oraisa? The Omar Rabba Gobu Karka Yeshlo Gobu Mod Eidmo. So what are you going to say? You're going to say, Bechi Tema, Epoch the Rabba, Ula the Ula the Rabba. Okay, maybe we've got it wrong. Maybe we should reverse it. Maybe indeed Rabba Sheet is the other way. And it's Ula who holds that she Buddha is Rav D'oraisa? No, sir. Because we know from elsewhere that that's not what it holds. Because the Omar Ula, Dvar Torah, Baal Chov, Dine Diziburit. That Midi Arisa, a Baal Chov, is meant to collect from medium class property. Now, since he mentions Ziburit, which refers to Karka, he's obviously referring specifically to a Shibud on Karka. Because if he was referring just to the idea that he could collect, and he only collects from lower class things, why would he mention property? He should say Misubim or whatever, right? Now, I just said something, but it's not necessarily true. Because what I was saying to you is meaningful in order to address the subconscious problem that you had. The subconscious problem being, who's to say that that's what you mean, that that's what Ula meant? Maybe what he was saying is that you can collect something when it's not Mishovet. Right? But I explained to you earlier that if you hold Shibudim to Lav Yeraisa, maybe you don't have Shibudim against anything. Maybe you can't collect from his things. Maybe you could just go to Bezdin and be Matil Bezdin to put lachatz on him, maybe by beating him. Who's to say it's that it gives you direct rights to collection? Now the reason I said the pshat that I said now, that obviously Ula was referring specifically to property, and therefore must be it was Meshubin, was because this is Tosus's pshat. And Tosus is of the opinion that even if your Shibuda is Lav D'Oraisa, it only means it's Lav D'Oraisa in terms of collecting from the chasim that have been sold. But certainly there is a chiyuv, like an arev on his property, to pay him. But that's not agreed by everybody. That's Tosus's issue. It might just, no, the Tosus says that there would be an chasim of an arev, yes, there are arevim to pay him. But there are other Rishonim, many other Rishonim that say that the meaning of all that Shibud Elav D'Oraisa here is that Priyat Balchov Mitzvah, but not that there's
any lien on my property.
There's no lien. There's no lien. It's just that there's a mitzvah on you. And then you could go to court, but the court should put on co-op that this guy should be Mekayim that mitzvah, the way that Besen is Mekayim to be Mekayim other mitzvahs. They'll take his money for paying charity also, because the chiyuv to give tzedakah. So it's no different than that in saying that he should pay you for the loan. Okay. So, but according to Tosfos that Lamaisa could collect, we'll have to explain that the raya that Ula holds Shibud D'Oraisa is because why did he talk about Ziburis? If what he meant was that you have a right to collect against him directly, he should have talked about Metalpim also. He should have said, you know, something like Silbiamers, you know, that's what Tosfos understands. So therefore, we cannot switch around Ula and Rabba. So now what do? Answers to Gemara, what we do is, we say that over there, when Rabba was talking about a Bechor, he wasn't talking about his own opinion. He was coming to explain what they had sent from Eretz Yisrael. He said over there, Sholchu Mitam. So Rabba explained, what were they thinking when Sholchu Mitam about a Bechor? They were thinking about this difference between Karka and Metaltalim, because they held Shibud D'Oraisa. However, I myself, La Halacha, wouldn't have agreed with that anyway. Because I hold Shibuda is Lav D'Oraisa, both Bagabi, the collection of a Bechor Pishnayim, and, of course, in our Sugya, to define the reason and the mechanism for being able to collect from property that has been sold. So Rabba, Taima, the name of Rabba Kama, Valelo Sirla, he himself doesn't hold it. Now, we get onto Kalman's issue. Which is, fine, we've been talking about over here property that was sold. What about property that was inherited? Rav Ishmael Damer Tavayu Milva Alpeh Nogova Lomina Yoshim Palomina Lekukot. Rav Ishmael say that if you hold Shibud Elav D'Oraisa, my time is Shibud Elav D'Oraisa. If you hold Shibud Elav D'Oraisa, then how could you collect from heirs? You shouldn't be able to collect from an heir either.
Why?
Because it's not his fee to pay the debt of his father.
Isn't it?
No. Why should it be?
You don't inherit the...
No, not if it's not against property. If it has something to do with the inheritance, then it's because Shibud D'Oraisa. If Shibud is Lav D'Oraisa, then you have a moral fee to pay a debt back. Fine. You can't bequeath a moral fee to your children. It's your moral fee. You didn't take care of it. You should have taken care of it.
And they're paying them back, aren't they? Like doing shul for their father?
No. That we find where the father stole a car at least. Mm-hmm. People will comment that it's you know, so they're already at the bazillion for their father. It's not a moral give. Did you try to hold the Gemara open? There's a halakha about standing by the door of the Beis Knesset waiting for davening to end. Big design. We've been here 44 minutes and 22 seconds. So we're not late. Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish Tamar Tavayu, Milval Peh, Gova, Bein Min Al Yoshim, Bein Min Al Kukokot. As Rabbi Yochanan, Reb Shimon said, that you could collect from a Yoreish and from a Lokeah. My timer, Shibuddha the Arisa. Now, we'll see.
I'm going to leave this for tomorrow because actually we're going to have to go on a little bit to the top of the next stop. I'd rather finish now. Give myself some time. So we'll complete this tomorrow, Bezer Hashem, and we'll leave a little bit over to make a scene during Sukkot.